This episode is brought to you by Mightier. Mightier is a biofeedback-based video game platform that teaches kids to emotionally self-regulate. This leads to a significant reduction in meltdowns and parental stress. It's backed by science out of Harvard Medical and Boston Children's and has helped over 100,000 kids. For more information, visit theautismdad.com/mightier. That's theautismdad.com/MIGHTIER and use the code theautismdad22 to save 10%. This episode is brought to you by Tranquil Path Financial Planning. Britta Keff is a dedicated special needs financial planner at Tranquil Path Financial Planning. Britta's personalized approach in fee-only planning ensures unbiased, tailored advice. Britta specializes in retirement planning and addressing the unique financial challenges of families with special needs kids anywhere in the United States. Navigating government benefits and long-term needs planning can be overwhelming and stressful, but with Britta's guidance, families find clarity and peace of mind. Secure your family's future with a compassionate and knowledgeable partner. Contact Britta Kepf at Tranquil Path Financial Planning for personalized financial planning that meets your family's unique needs. For more information or to contact Britta, visit TranquilFP.com. That's TranquilFP.com. Welcome to the Autism Dad Podcast. I'm Rob Gorski. As a single dad to three amazing autistic kids, I've been the go-to global resource for autism parenting since 2010. For the past seven seasons, this podcast has provided parents with education, connection, resources, validation, and hope. This season, you'll hear from parents just like you, as well as my own kids, who will offer their unique perspective on what it's like for them to navigate the world as young autistic people. I'll feature experts from across various relevant fields, from parenting and education to therapies, nutrition, self-care, and more. So join us each week and connect with people who get it. You can subscribe on any one of your favorite podcast listening apps. And for more information, to be a guest, or learn about sponsorship opportunities, please visit theautismdad.link. Welcome back. And this week, I have Emmett, my 15-year-old autistic son. He's sitting across from me here, and we are going to have a conversation. This week, he actually picked the topic himself, and we were debating on several different ones, but this one actually kind of falls in line with what you guys have been asking questions about recently. So I always like to address the questions and stuff. So this was a really good pick. So Emmett, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Good, 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 good. I am going to go ahead and let you introduce what we're going to talk about today.
Oh, okay. Just throwing me under the bus.
Yep.
Okay. Well, we are going to talk about the differences in how we have acted, like me and my brothers, between when we were kids, like toddlers, and where we are now.
And so, because, I love you so much, Emmett, but you fidget with everything.
I touched the cable.
I know that, but it's attached to a mic, and when you do that, I can hear it. And if I can hear it, then it's recorded. So if we could just not do that for the 20 minutes that we're going to be having this conversation, that would be fantastic.
I touched it for less than a second.
But that's all it took for me to be annoyed. I mean, we've been trying to record this for like ever, and it's just not been... Just slide it off to the side. Just move it off to the side.
Because then the mic will hear it.
That's fine. Okay. All right. So anyhow, so what we thought, I'm going to do my best to ignore is fidgeting. You be you, Emmett. You be you. But we're going to, we figured that I would talk about like what it was like when they were younger, and then Emmett can kind of speak to what things are like in more like recent times that you're kind of more maybe in tune with what's going on, I guess.
Yeah.
Because you were young, so you don't necessarily remember what it was like. So, okay, so Gavin is 24, Emmett is 15, Elliot just turned 18. Gavin was diagnosed in 2005, and he was sort of a different experience than the other two. Gavin developed typically and then experienced just massive regression about the age of four. And so there was a lot of emotional stuff with that, like just trying to like cope with what felt like a significant loss, right? With you guys, you were always this way. And I don't mean that sounds really bad. I don't mean that in a bad
way. Wow.
I don't mean that in a bad way.
Okay.
I mean like you guys were born like autistic, and Gavin wasn't. so like there was something that occurred with him that caused this regression and this condition for him to, you know, whatever. You guys were just born autistic. So like there was never, you guys have always been who you are. If does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because I definitely don't mean that in a bad way. And
the way you said it, it's like, you know, I had a plate, but then I dropped it. But then these two were just born broken plates.
Yeah. No, I didn't mean it. I did not mean it like that. The point I was trying to make was that they're very different experiences. Whereas like Gavin changed significantly.
Yeah.
You guys have always just been you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so now the Gavin who is here has been here for 20 years, you know, and so that's the only Gavin that we know. But you guys have always had your little quirks and your little kind of eccentricities and things that make you unique and amazing. But so with you, the first part of your life, you weren't talking.
Yeah.
And we've had conversations about that. And I've also learned that you really don't like to talk about that.
Nope.
Okay. So that's why, like, I know you guys have asked a lot of questions about this and you want feedback from him, but he just, like, I'm okay. And I think he's okay with me sharing my own experience with this with him, but he just doesn't feel comfortable talking about it anymore. So that's why we're just not going to go into that. But that was a big part of it, was you not being able to talk.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of aggression. You were very aggressive. You were the sweetest little kid, but he was the kind of kid that would like give you a hug and then scratch your face 5 seconds later. Like you were very frustrated. And now in hindsight, after having that conversation with you, I have a much deeper insight into what you were experiencing back then. It was frustration. You were lashing out because you were frustrated. You felt like you were being ignored because you couldn't communicate. And that was heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
But you were an evil mastermind. you used to slide the couch. Like you kept trying to escape the house. And you used to slide the couch across the floor. You're like 2 years old. And I have a picture of you doing this. I sat around in the dining room and I watched you do this. You slid the couch across the floor.
How did I have the strength to push the couch?
I don't know.
I feel like a two-year-old with flimsy legs.
Well, we had the little coaster things on it so that it wasn't scratching the hardwood floor. I mean, you're pushing it with wooden legs across hardwood floor. It just slides.
Still, though, if it's like a 100, 200-pound... something couch.
There's no couch. The couch doesn't weigh 200 pounds.
I don't know how much a couch weighs.
They're not very heavy.
Anyway, but a two-year-old shouldn't be able to push it.
Well, especially you at 2 years old.
Yeah,
you're
really
a tiny little kid. All I'm telling you is I have the pictures of, we couldn't figure out how you were unlocking the deadbolt, because what you would do is you would push the couch, and then once you climbed up on it and you unlocked the deadbolt, then you would push the couch back to where it was. And because it slid on the floor so easily, it was always like out of whack a little bit, because when you'd sit down on it, it would slide out. So it never occurred to me that that's what you were doing, because you were like this tiny, tiny little thing, right? Like if I hadn't seen you do it, I never would have believed it. But that's just how smart you were, right? Like it wasn't like, let me just move the couch over, unlock the door, slide it away so I can just get out the door real quick and run away. You wanted no evidence. You didn't want anybody to know how you were doing it. And there was a lot of sensory stuff with you. You hated clothes. There was a lot of food things. You had to have your hot dogs peeled.
I'm so sorry.
So gross. In fact, I just talked about this with Britton Coleman, the autism dietitian, because we were talking about nutrition stuff and kind of things that kids eat with limited menus. And I was like, Emmett, it's so gross. That is so gross. I'm sorry, but that is so disgusting. I don't know how you did it, and I don't know what difference it makes. I mean, it's not like peeling an apple. There's not like...
Apparently, they now sell skinless hot dogs.
I know that. Yeah, they do sell that. I did hear that after I talked about this.
That would have been useful.
Oh, LA and I were talking about it on a Facebook Live. That's what it was. And people were like, well, you can buy skinless hot dogs now, so it's got to be a thing. And I was like, oh my God, that's so gross. That's so gross. But yeah, I mean, so there was a lot of food challenges, clothes. You didn't wear shoes and socks for years, like years.
Nope. It was Crocs and water shoes.
And that took forever to get to. Right? I mean, that was a big challenge. started learning sign language.
Yeah.
You still try to manipulate me with that sometimes?
No, not really.
Everyone, yeah. You want, remember More Cookie? Do you remember that? It makes me melt every time because it was the first thing that he learned to say was more cookie. More cookie, please. And so, like, you were like 12 years old and you wanted something, and I was telling you no, and so then you signed more, please. And I was like, oh, okay. It was very nostalgic. It made me remember that. But yeah, I mean, it was, you always, we used to joke all the time about you were going to, like, we needed to make sure that you used your powers for good, because you were always taking things apart and you could just see the gears turning. Even when you weren't talking, you could just see the gears turning. Like you would just sit there, like, you know, like that evil mastermind was kind of like twiddling his fingers. I thought that
was Elliot.
No, this was you.
Oh.
You were like the evil mastermind. And, I mean, that was sort of the bulk of the challenges when you were little. I mean, there was like OT and PT for, like,
yeah,
you know, muscle tone things and loose joints, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, there was that sort of evolution of the mm-hmm. evolution of Emmett.
Yeah.
Elliot was the last one of you guys diagnosed.
Yeah.
And I didn't see it until his preschool orientation, because you and Gavin presented very differently, right? And so that's what I thought. I thought autism was Gavin, and then I thought, oh, okay, well, that's autism. So then you were autistic, and I was like, okay, so yeah, that's autism too. And Elliot was like right in the middle. So it never occurred to me. In fact, I kind of refused to acknowledge that there might be something going on until I saw him interact with his peers at preschool, and then I was like, oh, hit me like a freight train. It was so obvious then. But he's always just been very quiet
mm-hmm.
and very sensitive and very emotional and very empathetic. I mean, same with you, and so is Gavin. He's largely stayed pretty consistent throughout his life. You know, a lot of the sensory stuff has gotten better. Although I just bought him sandals again today that he's not going to wear anymore after one day. To be fair, it's
his fault, but not really his fault, because who chooses sandals that have like little mountains? Nubs. Yeah, they those have little like nubs, nubs
on the inside sole. It's just what they are. I zoomed in on them. I was sitting right there where you're sitting right now, and I was like, are you sure this is going to be okay? I zoomed in real big so he could see it. He's like, oh, yeah, that looks good. And I was like, man, I don't know. We'll have to see. But yeah, he wore them for like 10 minutes, and then he's like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore.
He was like, at least the ground feels softer now.
I mean, I was like, you're going to have to get used to it. I think you'd have to get used to it anyhow. And with Gavin, I mean, Gavin has profoundly changed over the years. You know, he went from serious, serious behavioral issues to doing as well as he's doing now, even with his health. You know, he's got his own job and he's going to be moving out, all that kind of stuff. So he's made a big, big shift in his life. But when he was little, it was really tough. And I think you remember a lot of that stuff with him when he was little or younger, because it was really traumatizing for you guys.
Yeah.
You know? So how do you feel you have changed, and how have you seen your brothers change over the years to where you are now, if that makes sense?
With me, a lot of my sensory issues are gone, I would say. I don't really have a problem with shoes.
I'm sorry. That was so bad of me. I am so sorry.
You told me to take over the rest of the episode, and
I mean, you're like, I don't even breathe air anymore. I'm doing so good. I mean, you have lots of issues with shoes and socks. It's a lot better.
Yeah.
It's a lot better.
In hindsight, with shoes, it mm-hmm. might have been that we were trying to cram tiny shoes onto
monster feet.
Yeah.
Your feet were not that big back then. That is puberty right there.
sensory issues with food is a lot better.
This episode is brought to you by Goalie. Did you know the University of Michigan did a study that found over 80% of apps for kids are designed to lure them into longer gameplay and more in-app purchases? Goalie decided it was time for this to end. Unlike the Kindle and iPad that have endless ads and potentially dangerous content, Goalie is a tablet with only apps that build independent kids. It has no web browser, no social media, and no ads, ever. It has award-winning learning apps like Khan Academy, Duolingo ABC, and Starfall, and the best part? It's completely parent-controlled. In my house, we use Goalie's kids calendar to teach my son how to stay on task. He learns life skills like how to make a sandwich by watching one of the hundreds of video classes and can practice it by following along with one of the 50 pre-made routines. As a dad, there's no better feeling than knowing that my son is becoming more independent every day. For more information and to try Goalie risk-free for 30 days, visit getgoalie.com. That's GETGOALLY.com and use the code theautismdad to save 10%. Can I ask you a question?
Hmm.
Do you think that it's better, like it's gotten better, or do you think that you have just become more tolerant? Does that make sense?
Probably a little bit of both.
Okay.
I would say something that helped is, first off, not having food shoved down my throat that I don't like, right? That didn't happen. And so I was able to just try it here and there on my own and sort of almost get used to it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, other than that, I'm not sure what exactly has changed besides sensory stuff. I mean, I'm not tiny anymore.
No, you're not tiny anymore. That. You're not that quiet little kid with little Coke bottle glasses. You speak your mind.
Yeah.
You do speak your mind.
Yeah.
You have a filter sometimes.
I have a filter, okay. How do you think I've changed? Now that I've said, like, my perspective. Do you think I'm mostly accurate or no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not you, obviously, but like when you said I don't have issues with shoes and socks anymore, I mean, I that really surprised me that you would say that because
I don't really, we haven't had issues in years.
How? Okay.
What?
How many pairs of socks have I bought you that you don't wear because they don't feel right? Or they'll feel okay when you try them on and then never again.
Wait, that hasn't happened in years.
Yeah, no, it's happened recently.
No, it hasn't.
The last two times that I've ordered socks, we found socks on Amazon and I just reorder the same ones because mm-hmm. we found them now. But we have, oh my God, I don't know how many socks we've gone through. But I guess the big difference is though, is that I think that you cope better with that stuff now and you're able to work through it. And you're better able to articulate, like, oh, I don't like this seam, or oh, I don't like because it's too tight around my ankle, or you know what I mean, like,
yeah,
or they're too loose fitting.
Mm-hmm.
When you were really young and you weren't talking, it was impossible to know any of that stuff. And so you are so good now at articulating what these experiences are like for you that it's very helpful. Not only to me, but to all the people that hear you share your experiences.
I think the worst socks that I had were, you remember those long black tube socks?
I knew it. I knew you were going to say that. I don't know what I was thinking.
I would wear them. And then like 5 minutes later, I would take my sock off and it looked like I had a field running up and down my leg just rose.
Well, yeah, like because of the how it embedded in your leg. Well, they were supposed to be like seamless socks, but these were like compression socks. And I don't know if you remember this or not, but you used to have like you wanted ankle socks because you didn't like them coming up your leg, but then you would pull them so tight that like you were pulling them up your shin. And so I was like, okay, well, maybe you need like that sensation or something. So let's just get you something that will pull up your leg, but then not fall down. and it didn't work that, I mean, it didn't work as planned, obviously.
Yeah, no, those socks were the worst by far.
It was well-intentioned.
Yeah, not effective, God. Though.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, Elliot hasn't changed that much. I mean, his hair has gone through like 20 different evolutions. He used to have this like would you call it like an almost mullet sort of thing?
No, he had a long hair era, and then it was like he was protesting the whole long hair thing.
Yeah.
And there's reasons for that. We won't get into that. But so then he shaved his head. So he was protesting. So he had like a shaved head era.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's got like a nice in between that you guys see in the lives and the reels. He's sort of found his, you know.
Yeah, my hair has gone through quite a few changes.
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly proud of a couple of the stages, but, you know.
I tried to save you from yourself.
Yeah, there was like a couple month period where I looked like I had a Justin Bieber haircut.
If we're going to set this up where him and I are doing this on video, but if we were on video right now, I would hold up pictures.
No.
You have the comb over, and then you had the Justin Bieber hair. But your hair looks really good now, and you're very happy with it, yeah?
Yeah. I also had like a buzz cut phase.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I decided that was a good idea.
Well, I don't know that you decided.
Oh yeah, that was just you shaving my head.
Yeah. Well, there was a point in time when haircuts did not go very well with you guys, and Elliot and I were talking about that on Facebook the other day. And it would get so, it was so traumatizing for you guys, and it was so traumatizing for me, and then the poor people that were trying to cut your hair. I mean, they felt like it was like they were cutting your fingers off. And it was just your hair, right? So we got to a point where it was like, you know what? We're just going to shave it. Because then you won't have to go back for haircut
What happened longer. Was you said, you know what? We're going to do it here. I asked, hey, can I get a fade? Like, fade on the side. Like this long.
That's
like
true.
An inch long, and then you shaved it all off.
I've never cut hair. I cut my own hair, but we've all seen what that is, right? So there, I remember what you're talking about. Then you had to go to school the next day. You were so angry with me. I felt so bad, but I was like, I mean, I told you I will do my best, and my best was not even close to being good.
You've
enough.
Gotten better.
I have gotten better. I can do kind of a tight fade now. Now you guys just go to the salon. I'll drive them there. They take my credit card. They walk into place. They tell them what they want, and they sit down. And they do it, and then they pay, and then they come out. I mean, that's a huge accomplishment because it was like I would carry you in to the barber. I would like. Make you, I would have to sit with you sometimes, when it means I get the hair all over me too. And I mean, it was a tough thing. There's a lot of sensory. I mean, we joke about it now, but there was a lot of sensory things that were a problem back then. But they're not. And if they do bother you still, you just cope with it. I mean, you just go in there, you do your thing, and you come out. And it doesn't inhibit you from living your life.
Yeah. I think the worst haircut I've ever had, probably. As bad as the Justin Bieber and comb over. You remember that one time I was in between getting my hair cut, like growing my hair out? You're like, it needs trimmed. And I'm like, no, it doesn't, but okay. So I go and get it trimmed. And then it looked like I had like a mushroom cap on the top of my head.
We had to fix that.
Yeah, and I had school the next day.
Do you remember your blue mohawk?
That wasn't blue.
Yeah, it was.
No, it wasn't.
I have a picture of it. It was blue.
Yeah, because there was like still dye in there.
Yeah. Well, it was just like that temporary rub-in dye.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've had a lot of, there's been a lot of Emmett haircuts over the years.
Yeah.
but you've grown up, you know? You were the quiet kid that, you know, I always worried would be walked on by people, you know, because you were so tiny and you were so, like, once we got through the whole, like, aggression phase with you and you were able to speak and communicate and stuff and all of your, a lot of the aggression went away, you know, I mean, you were just the quietest kid. And I always worried that it's like, man, I don't want anybody to, like, be able to push you around or whatever. And you have become somebody who, I mean, is intimidating to look at, honestly, but still not as tall as me. We're going to just ride that scooter as long as we can. I'm always going to be taller. I'll always be taller. That's just how we're going to, that's how we're going to do this. And you stand up for yourself and you stand up for other people. You're not intimidated easily by anybody and you don't let anybody sway you, right? So, like, you do what you think is right no matter what anybody else says. And I admire that. Elliot's the same way, you know? And so is Gavin, you know? And I mean, we haven't talked a whole lot about Gavin, but I've had conversations on the podcast with Gavin about this stuff before. So, like, you know, Gavin has had one haircut for most of his life and it's been short. And that's just because it was easier for him to maintain, honestly. Now he has his beard and he does a pretty good job of keeping it trimmed and everything else. And, you know, you guys have come a long way. You really have.
Yeah.
One of these days, you know, the next episode that we should do, I want you to talk about how I have changed as a parent over the years. That would be interesting.
That would be fun.
That'll be the next one.
Yeah.
So that's kind of it in a nutshell. I mean, there's a lot of things in between and whatever, but just in general, it was rough as when they were younger, as we were kind of figuring all this stuff out, but they've grown and evolved and they are absolutely amazing human beings that I'm very, very proud of.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Do you have anything else you want to add?
Not really.
All right. Well, if you guys have any questions that you want Emmett and I to take on, you're doing that, and it's I can hear it. I've got to figure out a way to do this without you being able to fidget with the microphone.
I'm not crazy. Fidgeting with the microphone. I moved my arm.
I know, but because of the cable. Yeah, now you see it. I can just he just realized what he was doing. So I'm very, very proud of you guys. So feel free to send us any questions that you guys want us to take on or you want Emmett's opinion on. He does not want to really answer questions about when he was unable to speak. He's just not comfortable doing that, so we're going to respect that.
But we do already have an episode talking about that. I'm not sure what season or episode.
Yeah, it's season 6, and it's called Before He Could Speak. So if you go to the autismdad.link and click on podcast, it's one of the featured episodes there. And then you can find all the information. You can submit questions that you want him and I to answer at the autismdad.link as well. So thank you guys so much. I really appreciate your time. And we will talk to you next week.
Have a good day.
See you guys.
Bye.
Before we go, I just wanted to take a moment and say thank you so much for taking the time to tune in and for all the support you guys have shown me over the last 7 seasons. I am so grateful and appreciative of each and every one of you. If you have found this useful or you just enjoyed listening, if you wouldn't mind taking a moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever app you're listening to this on, or share it with your friends or whatever, it's a great way to support the show. Thank you. I really appreciate it. You guys can reach me at theautismdad.link. That's theautismdad.link. And we'll talk soon. Thanks. Bye.